That was lovely, and it's such a joy to have these services, and we've had a few of them during the course of last year and the year before, and we pray that there will be more coming. We've got some young people's Bible, baptismal classes starting next month, and I'm hoping that there will be a few people here this morning that will come along and take part in those. Let's just pray. Gracious Father, we thank you for Raina. We thank you for the service that we have had so far and the testimony that has been brought. In Jesus' name, please take the words that are spoken now and use them to bring glory to your name. Amen. Right from the start of this message, I want to try and strike a note, as it were. I want to try and help us to understand the seriousness of what we have looked at and what we have seen unraveling before us. Sometimes I think that we can make excuses for the seriousness of what's taken place. We can talk about the fact that baptism does nothing for our salvation. The water in there will not have saved Raina. Raina came to know and love the Lord Jesus before just a few moments ago. But we can use that perhaps as an excuse in a sense to talk about the fact that it's just one of those things that we do. But when we talk about baptism, it's vital that we understand what it is all about, because as we look at baptism and as we've seen the drama, if you like, unfolding before us this morning, we are talking mainly about Jesus Christ in what has taken place. And that is why it is so important that we understand it. We are talking mainly about the death of the Lord Jesus Christ. We're talking mainly about the burial of the Lord Jesus Christ and, of course, of his resurrection. So immediately, right at the start of this message, I want us to understand the importance of the meaning of baptism, the importance that it speaks about Jesus, that Jesus, who should be central to our faith, is what this was all about. It is the fact that Jesus Christ died on the cross for our sins and was raised to life in the resurrection from the dead, and in doing that, that we might live. And when we talk about baptism, this should be the central theme, because we're not talking about religious rituals or church traditions. And sadly, there are many people that talk about baptism in those terms. It's the thing you do. And that's not what we're talking about here. We believe in baptism of believers. This church doesn't believe in adult baptism. We don't believe in child baptism. We believe in the baptism of believers. And all who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. And as we read the scriptures, we see very clearly that it is a commandment given that we should be baptized. We are talking about Jesus and what he means to us as individuals. We're talking about his death, his burial, and his resurrection from the dead, and that Jesus himself requested that his life and death and resurrection would be dramatized in baptism. It's a picture that we have of people being taken from death into life. And that's what baptism is about. And I want to say here this morning, never think small thoughts when it comes to baptism. Never think of it as being anything other than very, very important. When you think about baptism, I want to encourage you to think big thoughts about what it is that's being spoken of here and the importance to us in our lives. In fact, I don't just want you to think about big thoughts. I want you to think of absolutely ginormous, huge thoughts. Because baptism is the very center of our Christian faith when you think of what it demonstrates and shows. Because it is all about Jesus. It's all about what he was prepared to do on the cross for us. And as we begin to understand it, now we begin to see the joy and the excitement that there is. And for this dear Lady Raina here this morning, she has done something that she was told and encouraged to do as to being obedient to her Lord and to her Saviour. And she did it because she wants everybody to see this. She wanted everybody here to witness what had happened to her. And we're going to talk about what's happened to her and what's happened to us as people who have come to faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, we don't have to think that this was a game, that this was just a bit of fun, that we did something here, that it was a charade of some description. That's nothing of what baptism is about. When a man stands in front of his new wife, perhaps at the front of a church, they've been married maybe for 30 seconds. And as he takes her hand, and perhaps some of you here who are married can remember back, your mind is thinking back to that moment. And as he takes the hand of his wife, he can still hear the vows echoing in the church that have been spoken. And he takes her hand and he puts a ring on it. In that act, he is confirming everything that has been said beforehand. It's a solemn act. It's something that you don't just sort of have a laugh and a giggle. It's not something that you take very lightly. Because the woman in front of him, he has married. He has promised certain things to her. And as that ring is placed on her finger, it is a demonstration of the commitment that he has made and that he will keep it. And vice versa, of course. Now, that's the tone that we set for baptism. That's the message that we need to understand. That's the seriousness of what we're looking at. Chris read from Romans 6, verses 1 to 14. And it's a tremendous section of scripture. In fact, it's a beautiful section of scripture. And it's one that, in my thinking, is almost impossible to understand if you have not been baptized. I'm going to suggest that it's also pretty tricky to understand it if you have been baptized maybe as a child, maybe you were just a few weeks old. Because when you read that section of scripture, and as Chris read it so clearly and so well, you were hearing and seeing words that were important, words that were needing to be understood clearly. And the theme of these 12 verses from Romans 6 is that the believer identifies with Jesus Christ. How? What in? His death, his burial, and his resurrection. That is what we, when we come to faith in the Lord Jesus, identify with. That is what we understand. And this morning I want to ask you the question, can you identify with Jesus in his death, burial, and resurrection? Or is he just a character in history who said some good things, who went around doing good things for different people? Can you identify with him in any greater way than that? It's possible that there are some here this morning who can't identify with Jesus in that way. You may want to, but you can't. So I want to begin by talking about someone that we can all identify with. Every single one of us. When God created the world, he saw that everything he had created was good. And he continued and created man. He created Adam. And friends, this morning, if there's one man that we can all identify with, it's Adam. Why is that? Why can we all identify with him? Very simply, because when we talk about Adam, we recognize that sin came into the world. And it's because of sin that we can identify with Adam. But immediately some of you will be saying, I don't want to talk about sin. And there'll be some people who are saying, the problem is sin, that's all you ever talk about. The reason we have to talk about sin is because it is so controlling in our lives. It is so prevalent in the world in which we find ourselves. It is the thing that so often dictates our views and our opinions, the way we treat people, the way our marriages fall apart, the way we badly treat our neighbors and our friends and our children, because sin came into the world through Adam. That's why we can all identify with him. The Bible tells us in Romans 3 and verse 23, for all have sinned and all fall short of the glory of God. You see, no matter how hard we try, we just cannot help it. We just can't stop doing it. Yes, we try hard not to, but it happens. We are all like Adam, who sinned and broke his relationship with God, and immediately death came. Not physical death, but spiritual death. Separation from God, and that separation continues to haunt mankind today. And Paul, in his letter to the Romans, so powerfully explains what Jesus has done for us about our sin. However, Paul explains even more than just that. He explains even more of what just Christ has just done for us. He goes on to explain what actually happens to us when we come to faith in Jesus Christ. When we actually place our belief and our trust in him, when we commit our lives to him, as Rainer has done. When suddenly we hear his voice calling us. Up until that point, we didn't know what it was. We didn't understand. It meant nothing to us. We didn't recognize it. And then suddenly, as we come to faith in him, we recognize his voice. And everything changes because Jesus is calling us. And Paul explains that being made right with God, that our coming to faith in Jesus is not simply a legal matter between us and God. It's not some sort of contract that's been drawn up and you sign on the dotted line and God signs on the dotted line. It is not simply a case of our names being written in the Lamb's book in heaven, that huge book that has the names of all those who belong to him. It's not simply that, but I'm glad my name's written in that book. And I reckon there's a lot of you here this morning who similarly can say, praise God, I know my Redeemer lives. To be made right with God means that we enter into a living relationship with him. Now, this is where it's beginning to get harder for some of us to understand. What does that mean? You hear people talking about it. Jesus is living in me. And you think to yourself, you scratch your head and you think, what are they talking about? What does it mean? Well, it means that whatever happened to Jesus, and that's why I said, listen carefully, watch carefully. It means that whatever happened to Jesus has happened to me. It means that when Jesus died, I died. It means that when he rose from the dead, I rose in him. It means that through all of this, I now live in heaven. But you say, I'm not in heaven. I'm here. My citizenship is in heaven. That's my home. And that's the picture that we have seen here this morning. How does Paul illustrate it? By using the theme of baptism. By using the drama that we have seen here this morning as Rainer was baptized. Now, all historians agree that the mode of baptism in the early church was exclusively by full immersion in water. So as Christians in Rome, when they read the letter that Paul had written, they instantly understood what was being spoken of here. And that's why it's so important that we understand the picture. But these people knew this picture. And as Chris read, and we're going to read again in just a few moments, you will see that they understood what was being spoken about. In other words, baptism by full immersion in water pictures the believer's identification with Jesus Christ. It's as simple as that. And yet we seem today to sometimes make these things so complicated, so hard to understand. But when we actually go through that ourselves, we are beginning to understand what it was that Jesus did for us. No wonder he commanded that all be baptized, because he wanted us to see it, to feel it, to know it, to understand. It was an outward symbol of an inward experience. Paul never said that their immersion in water would put them into Jesus Christ, because that was accomplished by the Holy Spirit when we believed, when we came to faith in Jesus. Their immersion in water was only a picture of what the Holy Spirit had done. The Holy Spirit identified them with Christ in his death, in his burial, and in his resurrection. And all this means is that the believer, the person who has come to faith in Jesus Christ, has a totally new relationship with Jesus. We know Galatians 2:20 really well. What does it say? I am crucified with Christ. It's a verse that we probably learnt when we were very young. But what does that mean? I'm going to try and explain it. It's always tricky when you're looking for ways to do this, but listen, bear with me. When a man has lived his whole life by being dependent upon alcohol, when he dies, he can no longer be tempted by the alcohol because his body is dead to all its physical senses. He cannot see the alcohol. He cannot smell the alcohol. He cannot taste the alcohol. And he cannot desire the alcohol. In Jesus Christ, we have died to sin so that we no longer want to continue in sin. But it gets even more exciting than this. Not only are we dead to sin, but we are made alive to Christ. And that's why we didn't leave Rainer under the water, because she rose again. And also, we'd get into trouble. We have been raised from the dead, and now we walk in the power of his resurrection. And as the scriptures put it, we walk in the newness of life. Why? How? Because we share his life. Because that verse in Galatians 2:20 didn't stop at the point that I stopped at. It said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. We live because Christ lived. Now do you see why we should take baptism so seriously? Because all the way through it points to Jesus. All that he has done for us and all that we go through when we are saved by the power of the Lord Jesus Christ in his resurrection from the dead. Do you see the picture now? Do you see why God in his graciousness presented this so that we would understand, so that we wouldn't forget, so that we would know? Now, as you know, we like to study God's word in a systematic way in this fellowship. That simply means that we work our way through scripture. It's good because it means that the pastor doesn't avoid the bits that are tricky to answer. We all have to face and to answer the scriptures, to look and compare our lives to the standard that God sets. And that's why it's a good thing to do that. And as we do this, time and time again, we see that God brings his timing in the various sections of scripture that we are studying. And can you remember the section that we're looking at the moment? John's Gospel, I'll give you the first part because we've been looking at it for 18 months. John's Gospel, chapter what? 11. That's what we looked at last week. And as I was thinking, Lord, what is it that we would look at in this important and very, very lovely service this morning? There it is, John chapter 11, and also into John chapter 12, the resurrection of Lazarus. And as we begin to look at that account, and as we consider what's happened here, we begin to see the parallel, and we say, Lord, thank you. Yet again, you have brought this before us so that we can understand this. When Jesus arrived in Bethany, Lazarus had been in the tomb for 4 days. So there was no question that he was dead. And then Jesus spoke, and it was the power of his word that called Lazarus from the grave. Jesus raised his friend from the dead, John 11:43. And it's Jesus' word that calls you from the grave now, in your life. Do you begin to see the parallel? Now can you see the importance of baptism and why I cannot make any excuse for the mode of baptism that we have in this church? It's beautiful, it's powerful, and it's a way to help us to learn and to understand. So Jesus calls Lazarus from the tomb, and when Lazarus appeared at the entrance of the tomb, he was wrapped in his grave clothes. So what did Jesus say then? He said to the people around, loose him, set him free, take those grave clothes off of him, let him go. Why? Because death no longer holds him. It no longer has control over him. You see, Lazarus had been raised to walk in newness of life. And that is the picture for us. And then we go into John 12 and we see that Lazarus was seated with Jesus at the table in fellowship with him. Now what a wonderful set of pictures that we have here. Dead, raised from the dead, set free in newness of life, seated with Christ. And that, friends, this morning is the same for us. that we can look forward to heaven, to all eternity with Jesus. All of these facts illustrate the spiritual truths of our being identified with Christ. And that is why believers' baptism is so important. Too many Christians you could describe are betweeners today. I hope there's no betweeners here this morning. They live between Egypt and Canaan, saved but never ever satisfied. Or they live between Good Friday and Easter Sunday, believing in the cross but not entering into the power and the glory of the resurrection. Their lives are stunted. Their lives are weak. Because they never ever get to the point of seeing the power that is ours through the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Romans 6 verse 5 indicates that our union with Christ assures our future resurrection should we die. But look at the verse before. Romans 6 verse 4 teaches that we share his resurrection power when? Now! Today! It's ours! We don't have to be timid, afraid, weak. It's ours now. You see, we can conquer sin and death when we die with Christ and are buried with Christ and raised to live in Christ. Reina is powerful because she has the Holy Spirit living within her. She can walk in this world with her head held high without fearing anything because Jesus is with her. Greater is he that is in me than he that is in the world. And Reina, I pray that all of us here are able to walk like you in the power of the resurrection of the Holy Spirit. Now this morning the message was entitled, Dying to Live. And friends, that's the picture. That's the picture that we saw there. That's the drama that Reina Blesser has been prepared to go through to show to us. Friends, we cannot live in Christ until we have died to our old self. Say that again. We cannot live in Christ until we die to our old self. Some of you, as I've said those words, might be thinking to themselves, I want more. I desperately want more. What is it that's stopping me? Maybe it's because you haven't finished dying yet. Jesus made baptism an ordinance. Does everybody know what an ordinance is? It's a commandment. It's not an optional extra. It's not something you do if you feel you want to. It's something that Jesus commanded us all to do when we come to faith in him. And if we want to obey Jesus in all these things, then we need to obey him in baptism as well. The order in Scripture is clear. Matthew 28 makes it very clear. So too does Acts. So does Mark. So does Romans. And many other places. Galatians, Ephesians, and so on. We're told to make disciples and then baptize them. How long do we continue to do this? How long do we continue to bury people in the water and raise them up in Christ? To the very end of the age. When's that? When Jesus returns. It's not optional extras that we're looking at. You see, this morning we witnessed the drama of what happened to Jesus 2,000 years ago over a Passover. But it is also a picture of what happens to us when we die to our old selves and then are raised to life again. That's the significance that we're talking about. That's how we understand Romans chapter 6 and many other sections of Scripture. Because God knew that we struggle to understand things, and so he made it simple by giving us a picture to remember of what has happened in our lives. So this morning we have in fact attended a funeral service. Reina, we came to your funeral service. Amen. But it was also a dedication service, if you like, for a new baby, a new child. Because Reina, when she came to faith in Jesus, was born again. In our Bible reading notes with Emma and with our children, what were we talking about this morning, Emma? What was it that had to swim to the sea? Can you remember when it hatched? Say that again. Sea turtles. Okay. So there they are. Their eggs have been buried on the beach. And then they push their heads above the sand. Okay. And they look around and they immediately swim to the sea. Why do they swim to the sea? Why not go the other way? They want to bath? No, their instinct tells them to swim to the sea. Because God, in his graciousness, in his creation, it is so incredible. Those little things were in an egg. And the first thing they do is just swim to the sea. And Raina, when she came to know and love the Lord Jesus Christ, our instinct takes over. And that instinct is that we want to be like Jesus. We want to live as Jesus did. And suddenly sin no longer has control over us in the way that it did. Because we died to it. But graciously God raised us from the dead. And we rejoice in him. Romans 6 verse 11. In the same way count yourselves dead to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus. Let's rejoice, all of us who know and love the Saviour. And if there's anybody here who's not been baptised and would like to talk to me about it, it's important. It won't save you, so don't talk to me if you're not a believer. But when you are, that instinct takes over. And you will want to follow Jesus, obey him, submit to him in all things. Raina, thank you for your testimony this morning. Thank you for being prepared to give to us the picture that we need in our minds. And may the Lord bless you and keep you. Make his face shine upon you. Keep you safe. Amen.